This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Some citizens in Kalamazoo are asking their local leaders to support campaign finance changes. Their concern lies mainly with the changes that came about as part of the U.S. Supreme Court's Citizens United decision in 2010. We're joined by two members of the task force working on this issue. Michael Liebman is a professor of psychiatry at Western Michigan University, who's been practicing for 39 years. And Harold Boy is a retired Unitarian Universalist minister and social studies and math teacher. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tell us about your group. What are you trying to do?
Well, we're trying to get our county commission to endorse the overturn of the Citizens United decision and put Kalamazoo on the map among many other communities around the state and the United States that have objected to the Citizens United decision.
Can you give us an idea of the people who are working with you on this? You know, where do they come from and who they are, generally speaking?
Well, we have a handful of committed members of the task force that are working with us to do this. They come from the faith community and from the general community.
So what's wrong with Citizens United?
Well, Citizens United is a decision that has allowed dark money, money that is not identified with its source, to be entered into the support of candidates for public office without disclosure of the source, and therefore having an undue influence, especially when there are large amounts of money, on the outcome of the elections without having an opportunity to figure out where it came from and why they're supporting those candidates.
Is transparency and disclosure enough? In other words, if everyone can give as much money as they want to, but we know who's giving it, is that good enough for a functioning democracy?
Well, I think it's better than what we have now. By not knowing the source and not knowing what opportunities to influence decisions of our elected officials, we can't monitor whether that is leading to undue influence for the benefits of those benefactors.
Harold, looked like you wanted to get in there.
Yeah, well, certainly transparency is an important issue, but also the abundance of money that's being put into the system in that the over-influence, I would say, of corporations and wealthy people who control, to some extent, a large extent, how our political process works. I have a paper here by political scientist Martin Gillens from Public Opinion Quarterly, in which he talks about, from his data, that he found that when Americans with different income levels differ in their policy preferences, in other words, the poor people versus poor middle class people versus the wealthy and corporations, actual policy outcomes strongly reflect the preferences of the most affluent, but bear virtually no relationship to the preferences of poor or middle class Americans. And I think right now we have a crisis in confidence in the government. I think you can see it in the political process right now, in the presidential campaign, in the campaigns of Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders, albeit they have different aspirations and different solutions. But they're both responding to what I think is people's disgust with the government, and they're feeling that their concerns do not matter. And the truth is, that's true, that their concerns do not matter. Actually, Gillens quoted this political professor, Robert Dahl, who said, a key characteristic of democracy is a continuing responsiveness of government to the preferences of its citizens considered as political equals. So we are in a situation that we're moving away from that ideal of democracy. I mean, we never can actually reach it totally. This country was founded as an experiment of democracy. It was an imperfect model in the beginning, certainly. I mean, with African Americans, women, Native Americans, people of property couldn't vote. And over the years, we become more and more democratic. But in the last 30 years ago, we moved away from that, primarily because the wealthy and corporations have been in control. We have a problem. And so why is that problem? And again, Gillen says the reason is the most obvious source of influence over policy that distinguishes high-income Americans is money and the willingness to donate to parties, candidates, and interest organizations. So I just want to say a word about this idea of money as speech.
Right, which is part of the Citizens United decision.
Exactly,
they upheld
right.
the idea that...
And previous decisions.
Previous decisions yeah. have said that money equals speech, and so therefore
right.
if you limit the amount of money someone can give to one of these political action committees, you would be, in effect, according to this ruling, limiting free speech.
Right. And I can understand that to some extent. It makes sense in some sense. But in another sense... If you think about what the money does, and the money, one thing I want to say about it is we shouldn't focus on so much on the presidential election. That's a really different animal. It's mostly you can see the influence of money on the local level, the state level. You can see how they influence, for example, school boards. We've seen that, for example. And you can ask yourself, why are government doing certain things that are going against the interests of the American people? I mean, concerns of health and education, issues of war and peace and the environment. And it's primarily because our politicians are responding to their donors. That's what's happening. And so in terms of money being speech, the way I like to talk about it is, I talked about this with you, Gordon. It's like, say you want to rob a bank. And so if you go in with a gun, the chances are that that would work, you know, that you would scare the teller and the teller would give you the money. But then suppose you go in there and you try to talk the teller out of giving you the money. That probably wouldn't work very well, you know, because I would imagine almost all tellers are honest and hardworking people. But suppose you make a conspiracy, you collude with one of the tellers and say, I'm going to, you know, I'll give you half the take. You know, $500,000 or something like that, or half a billion, I don't know. And that could work because money has that effect. Money buys things. Money, for example, in the political process, buys television ads. So if I cannot buy any advertising on television, I'm running as a candidate, how's that? I mean, it's standing the free speech argument on its head. It means that those people who have the power to be on television are going to control the message. And if you can control the message, then you control who's going to get elected and what issues are going to be talked about and so on. Money is a means, is what it is. It's a means to speech. It's a means to getting on television. It's a means to sending out mail and so on. And if you don't have it, then it's very hard to get your message out.
But in a day and age when, you know, communication costs something,
right?
Either through television advertising or advertising in other places, even setting up a web page. I mean, that does cost something. It may not be a lot, but how do you then determine what's the right amount of money that should
right.
be in politics? What are the proper limits on what people should be allowed to spend when everyone has an interest in getting their message out one way or another?
Well, we have limits on what you can give to a candidate as an individual.
And those still stand even after the Citizens United.
Those stand, that's correct. And the PACs don't have limits. So we have unions and employers or industry companies that are given an unlimited amount, and large donors, individual donors, can give an unlimited amount of money to the PACs. And supposedly the PACs are not to have any coordination with the candidates, but we know there are people who worked for the candidate and then who work for the PAC and then work for the candidate and then work for the PAC. They go back and forth, and that lack of influence is not really bearing out in reality. And because it's dark money, because the money is not disclosed, it makes it difficult to police that.
So I think we can all agree that the Kalamazoo County Commission may be able to do a lot of things, but it cannot amend the United States Constitution, and it cannot appoint nor approve the nomination of a Supreme Court justice or Supreme Court justices who could overturn the Citizens United decision. So why bring a resolution to the Kalamazoo County Commission?
Well, the reason is that it's not just Kalamazoo that's participating in this. This is a nationwide movement of people who are trying to get their units of government to stand tall in objecting to the current Supreme Court position that we have, and keep this issue out in the open for those who might either create a constitutional amendment or to modify the rules around disclosure of dark money. Maybe at some point we could see some changes in the direction that we're hoping as a result of our influence at the local level, at every local level around the country.
I guess what I'm wondering is why not have a petition, get it signed, bring it to the office of a member of Congress or the United States Senate?
Well, I don't think it's an either or. I think it's a, I mean, the reason we want this to happen is we want the county commission to make its stand and to have the have the people of Kalamazoo County hear from them and bring it to people's consciousness. I mean, it you know, obviously they only have so much influence, but they have some influence, and so we're trying to do this with everybody. We're not just doing it with we tried it with the city commission, and they decided not to. But you know, we'll keep on trying. And you know, it's not an easy problem to solve, like you suggested, Gordon. You know, what are the limits? I think part of it has to do with where does the money come from? And money coming from corporations, I think that's a problem. I mean, in Montana, they had laws against corporations giving money to political candidates because Montana was controlled by the mining industry. And so that's why they had that law. But that was overturned by the Supreme Court. I think there are limits to speech in other ways. I mean, in terms of slander and libel, fighting words, those kind of things, crying fire in a crowded theater. I'm very much in favor of free speech. And getting back to my analogy about robbing a bank, you know, we really promote the idea of people speaking freely and having debate and having the marketplace of ideas. But if there's only one person who's allowed to speak, then we really don't have a democracy. And that's what we have. And corporations, by the way, they're not really created to be concerned with the needs and the wants of the American people. They're concerned about profits and about shareholders and about CEOs' salaries and that kind of thing. And so they don't really do what they do to help the American people. And so in that sense, I think it's important to think where the money is coming from, not just the amount.
Let me read from document which you provided me on the work you're doing.
Yeah.
While repealing a Supreme Court decision by constitutional amendment is one strategy, it would likely be slow and uncertain. So
yeah.
If that's not going to happen, what could happen in the meantime?
Well, Congress could require disclosure. I think that's something that can still be done.
And the states could as well.
And the states could, yeah. The problem that we've had is that they don't seem to be interested in doing that. And so by speaking out at the local levels across the state, across the nation, perhaps that will bring the issue more to the forefront.
Is there a concern that whatever legislation is put in place, whatever rules are supposed to be there, that people are going to find ways around them, because a lot of what followed in the 90s, you know, sort of the McCain-Feingold campaign finance law, which was struck down by the Supreme Court, but that was in response to a lot of the activity which started after the Watergate reforms, and people found ways around it. I mean, is someone always going to find a way around this, or is there a way to write the laws? And I realize that maybe this isn't necessarily your field of expertise, but do you think there's a way to write the laws that can be done so that people do not find ways around it and do not find ways to hide who they are, at the very least that we have transparency?
Well, you know, the wealthy and the powerful will always find ways to circumvent laws. Look at tax laws, for example. And, you know, they have the advantage that the tax laws are so complicated they can get lawyers to work in their favor. But I think we need to ask, you know, what will make the situation better? I mean, obviously, we can't create perfection, but what will make it better? I think one solution, ultimately, and it could be generations, but to have public financing of the of campaigns so that people who are, you know, like Abraham Lincoln couldn't survive today. You know, he couldn't run a campaign because, you know, he was basically not that wealthy. He was the problem is how do you respond to the needs and wants of the American people, you know, the majority of American people? And you can't do that if the only people who are running are beholden to the wealthy and the powerful. And so it's not an easy problem to solve. But I think one thing, ultimately, public financing of campaigns, that could be a solution. And then, of course, transparency.
So you would like the Kalamazoo County Commission to take up a resolution. Are there other things that you're working on?
Well, at the moment, we're kind of reforming our committee. After we're done with this, we're going to... I think this is a continuing problem in that we need to look at how to make our democracy work better. So, you know, there are a lot of issues about this. And again... You know, the fact that we have the kind of government we have, it does not respond to the important issues about our environment, education, about war and peace. So, I mean, those are the kind of things I'll be working on. I don't know what the people of the committee will be working on. I don't know. What about you, Mike?
I think the committee has decided to disband after we accomplish this goal. This was the original goal.
Right.
Was to get the county commission to take up this resolution.
Yes.
Well, I should say this was the creation of Molly Clements, and Molly is going to step aside after this. But I think, you know, some of us will continue in some aspect of trying to make our democracy work better.
I mean, I think one of the scariest parts of this struggle is that the people who are currently serving in our government have their hand out whenever you try to meet with them asking for a check. And that's become sort of standard operating procedures. The elected officials that I've encountered, even the ones that I support and feel strongly in favor of, are still... reaching out with their hand, one hand to shake your hand and the other hand to grab the check. So it's become a standard operating procedure for politicians to fundraise at every opportunity. And the individual donors cannot compete, usually, unless they're very, very wealthy, with the corporations and the influence that they have. And so you might get 5 minutes to talk to somebody with a check for a couple hundred dollars, whereas if you're giving thousands of dollars or hundreds of thousands of dollars, you get all the time you want to talk to them and support those particular issues.
You know, I have a great deal of sympathy for politicians. I know that people don't think highly of politicians, but I see them as public servants. And I think it's really demeaning that they have to spend so much time raising money. You know, and this hasn't always been the case, you know, and it makes it really difficult for them to do their jobs. So it's a really important point that Mike makes.
Harold Boy and Michael Liebman, thank you for your time.
Thank you, Gordon.
Harold Boy is a retired Unitarian Universalist minister and social studies and math teacher. Michael Liebman is a professor of psychiatry at Western Michigan University, has also been a practicing psychiatrist for 39 years. They are both members of a task force which is working on opposition to the Citizens United campaign decision regarding campaign finance law. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.